people joining the meeting.
Hi, John. Good morning. Tony, have you got me on?
Yeah. I see everybody's there.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Right, okay, so.
Nice haircut, Tony.
This is just how it is.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Seamus. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Can, yes.
I muted my computer. I was having, excuse me, I turned my computer off because I don't have a video feed right now, and I was getting considerable blowback.
Okay, everybody ready? Okay, good morning. It is 9:30 on Monday, July 27th, 2020. I'm Victoria Bowman. I'm the chairman of the Board of Massage Therapy. I now call the meeting to pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute ARS 38-431.02, notice is hereby given to the members of the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy and to the general public. The board will hold a meeting open to the public Monday, July 27, 2020 at 9:30 a.m. The meeting will be held digital online. One or more members of the board may participate in the meeting by telephonic communication. The meeting will open to the public. However, during the course of the meeting, the board, upon a majority vote of the members, when necessary, the executive session pursuant to ARS-431.03A3, as indicated by the board's agenda. The executive session is not open to the public. Information concerning the board's agenda include the copy of the agenda and any amendments can be obtained at the board's office through the board's website or by contacting board staff. The agenda is subject to change up to 24 hours prior to the meeting. Agenda items are noted by number and letter for convenience and reference. The board may address the agenda items in any order within the time frame indicated and may set matters to a later time when necessary. The board serves the right to change the order of the agenda items except for matters set at a specific time. Title 2 of the Americans with Disability Act prohibits discriminating on the basis of disability in its public meetings. Persons with a disability may request a reasonable accommodation, such as a sign language interpreter, by contacting board staff. Requests should be made as early as possible to allow time to arrange the accommodations. During the board meeting and upon vote of the majority of a quorum, the board may go into executive session. Okay, we've done that. Any and all legal action by board members. Okay, call to order. We'll now have a roll call. Mrs. Cisneros, would you please call?
Yes, thank you. Excuse me, Chair Bowman?
Present.
Vice Chair Clark?
Present.
Mr. McLean?
Present.
Mr. Ortega?
Present.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Present.
Thank you. We do have a quorum.
Thank you. I would also like to acknowledge our Executive Director, Tom Augerton, and our attorney, Seamus Monahan, as well as Ms. Cisneros, and our staff. Thank you very much for your service to our massage board. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.01H, the board may make an open call to the public during a public meeting, subject to reasonable place and manner restrictions, to allow individuals to address the public body on any issue within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the board are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. The board, however, may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. I would like to now ask if any of the board members wish to declare a conflict of interest on any of the cases we have today. Action on board, so the minute accept.
Chair Bowman, this is Andrea, if I may.
Yes.
My apologies for interrupting, but with the feedback that we're getting back, your statements are being cut off and we're not able to make out everything that you're saying.
I'm having trouble with Cox, so I'm sure my screen is not working well. Mr. Wilcox, have you got a suggestion?
Leave the meeting and then rejoin.
Okay. Ms. Cisneros, is this better? Are you getting feedback now?
That sounds much better. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Okay, so we are at number 5, review, discussion, and possible action on board meeting minutes. So A, discussion and approval of the massage board open meeting minutes from the June 22nd, 2020 digital training. Do I have a motion and second?
Emily Clark, second.
May I ask who made the motion?
I don't believe there was an original motion, but I will go ahead and move that we accept the minutes from both June 22nd and June 29th meetings.
Monahan, may we do both things?
This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. Yes, you could do them in the same motion if you would like.
This is Tom Augerton. Let me just make a note that the chair has disconnected and will be reconnecting in a minute to try to get a better signal. So if you can stand by. Madam Chair, I explained to the board that you were having communications problems, and now that you're back, you have your motion and your second.
A motion and a second.
Okay, the chair has disconnected again and is attempting to get a better signal. I just received a text from her. Tony, what I'm going to suggest to you is that if we can't get her a clear signal on her COTS provider, what we may have to do is to have her use her cell phone to run the meeting, but we would need board members to audibly indicate, because she will not be able to see you, if you want to be recognized to speak. And she's back with us again and connecting right now. But that would be another alternative so we can proceed. Madam Chair, I just indicated if your COTS provider signal doesn't straighten out, you can return by cellular telephone, and then we would ask the board members to audibly indicate when they want to be recognized by you.
Okay. It looks like
we do have you back, though.
Right. So... Okay, so this will be my game plan. If I get bumped off again, then I will come on by phone. You'll obviously know that because I'll drop off the call or the video. Let's go ahead and proceed. Ms. Sarris, would you do a call vote on the motion and set meeting?
Absolutely. I have a motion to approve the minutes from June 22nd, the digital meeting, and the June 29th monthly meeting that was made by Mr. Ramsey and Vice Chair Clark. Roll call vote. Chair Bowman? Chair Bowman? It looks like we lost her again. Tom, would you like for me to proceed with the roll call vote, or do you want to give her another moment to try to call back in?
Well, why don't we go ahead and proceed with the roll call vote, and then by that time, she will have rejoined the meeting audibly. That would be my suggestion. Madam Vice Chair, you're basically chairing now until we get the chair back.
Right, and to confirm for the board, we do currently still have a quorum. We would just list the chair as being absent for this particular vote. Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
The motion passes. Thank you.
Madam Vice Chair, will you go ahead and proceed with the meeting until we're able to get the chair successfully back?
Oh, okay. I'm on my cell phone now.
I'm sorry. Madam Chair, the motion on the minutes has been approved, and we had the Vice Chair chair in your absence. And now that you're back, we're able to start the next item.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Clark. Number six, items for board review and discussion and possible action. Upon a vote of the majority of a quorum, the board may go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2. To discuss or consider records exempt by law from public inspection, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is specifically required to be maintained as confidential by state or federal law. On A, formal hearings, we have no formal hearings. B, formal interviews, we have 20-144 Joshua Richardson. Is Mr. Richardson on the line, and is the complainant on the line?
Mr. White, can you respond to the chair for us, please?
I'm sorry?
I was asking Mr. White if he could indicate the status to your question.
Mr. Richardson's name has popped up, and Ms. N.W. had popped up also, so they're on the line. They're both on there.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Okay, so it is now 9:46 a.m. on July 27th, 2020. This is a formal interview regarding Joshua Richardson, case number 20-144. Well, the licensee is present. Are you represented by an attorney today, Mr. Richardson?
No.
Thank you. If so, please state your name for the record. Mr. Richardson, please state your name for the record.
Joshua Richardson.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Mike? Yes?
I apologize, Madam Chair. This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. There was just a preliminary matter with this case and with the next one. Mr. Richardson, you did receive the notice for this hearing, yes?
No, I didn't receive anything from this.
I was just told from the last meeting that it would be on this day. I've received nothing from the board since then. I got the letter saying that it was today, but that's all I've got from the board.
Yes. Okay. And that would have been your notice. However, state law requires that we give you 35 days. That's to allow you to prepare for this matter. It's only been 28. So it is your choice to go forward today, or we can continue this to the next meeting because of the issue with notice. So it basically requires that you waive that notice requirement and we proceed today, or we can move it to the next meeting.
No, today is fine.
Okay. I apologize, Madam Chair. You may proceed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Monahan. My name is Victoria Bowman. I'm chairman of the board and professional board member. The other board members will now introduce themselves and indicate whether they are consumer or professional board members.
Emily Clark, professional board member.
Nick McLean, board member.
Kevin Ramsey, professional board member.
John Ortega, public member.
Thank you. You have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today, the process for the formal interview, and the possible actions the board may take. The purpose of this formal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of the case and decide the outcome. We will hear a brief summary of the case and then interview you. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during the interview, you may ask them through me. Ms. Cisneros, would you please give us an overview of this case?
Absolutely, thank you. Case number 20-144. On January 27th, 2020, the board received a complaint from NW regarding a massage therapy session with the respondent that took place on January 17th at Rubb's Massage Studio. NW stated that this was her third session with the respondent and that she asked for him specifically because of his prior ability to relieve her shoulder and neck pain. She stated that at the end of the scheduled 60 minutes, the respondent asked if she would like to stay for another 30 minutes to continue working on problem areas, to which she agreed. NW reported that after informing the front desk and returning to the room, respondent proceeded to massage her inner thighs and concentrated on her groin area. Respondent then asked to massage the abdomen, at which time respondent removed the drape completely, leaving NW's breasts exposed as well as her underwear. Respondent told NW that he would massage her connectors and proceeded to slip his hands into NW's underwear, first rubbing her pelvic bone, pubic area, and then her vagina. NW alleged that the respondent then aggressively massaged her bare breasts. When the session finished, respondent left the room and waited with a cup of water. He asked NW if she felt looser and recommended a long bath with Epsom salts. NW subsequently reported the incident to the general manager and was informed that the respondent was removed from the schedule pending an investigation. NW also filed a report with the police department. She reported that as a result of the encounter, she has had to take a leave from school and work to receive intensive treatment. Respondent was subsequently terminated from employment after two additional complaints were made with similar allegations. One thing I wanted to point out to the board, and this came up at the last meeting, the respondent had indicated that he was not terminated by his employer. I just wanted the board to be aware that there are two separate instances in the board's file where the manager at Rubb's Massage Studio indicates that he was removed from the schedule until it is determined whether the allegations were founded or unfounded. And then in a separate area, it indicates that he was terminated. So that discrepancy that's in the file, you might want to have him expand on. One more thing I'd like to bring to the board's attention is additional material that we got since the last meeting included a therapy report from the client's provider. And I just want to remind the board that that information is confidential. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
So, Ms. Cisneros, is the information on the therapy that NW has, is that available to us?
Chair Bowman, thank you. I received that information from Tony. I don't have the exact date when I got it. That was supplemental information that came out after the board packet. So I'm not sure if the board's received that through him or not. You would have to have Tony clarify. Thank you.
The board received it February 6th. I mean, not February 6th, July 6th.
July 6th, okay. Thank you. Okay, so, Mr. Richardson, would you like to enlighten us as... Yes.
I apologize for interrupting.
No, we need to swear everyone in.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so if we could have NW, Mr. Richardson, Mr. White, is there anyone else we need to swear in at this time?
No.
Okay, so if you would please, Ms. Cisneros.
Yes, ma'am. If the parties could all please raise your right hand. Do you swear that the testimony you will give today in these proceedings will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
And NW, do we have you on the line?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. It sounds like we have someone playing something in the background. If you could mute your line when you're not speaking, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Richardson, would you like to explain what occurred, what your recollection of what occurred in this session?
Well, the client, when she came back to see me, we had spoke about where I'd worked before. I had done breast work, and I was taught by another therapist to do it because she wanted me to work on her. And so I told her I can do it, or she can find someone that she feels more comfortable with. Before the massage even started, I went over everything and asked her twice if she wanted me to do the breast work and if she wanted me to do the abdominal work and the attachments. And with every other client, including her, whenever I'm done asking what they want, what they're looking for in a massage, and after I asked her if she wanted the breast work and if she wanted the ab work with the attachment, she said yes to both of those. I then went over everything again before I left the room. And what I do with my clients is I use myself and point to all the areas I'm working and ask them, is this what you would like to have done? And she said yes to that as well. So she saw everywhere that she's going to be working on. I showed her everything on myself, like I do with every other client. That way there's no confusion. There shouldn't be any confusion as to where I'm working. Because sometimes when you tell someone I work on the glutes, they don't like to say, I'll work on your butt. I always say the glutes. They don't know. So I point to my glutes and show them where I'm going to be working, or adductors. I show them where I'm going to be working. So she gave me consent both times. The only thing I've done so far is I forgot to get written, because where I worked before, you didn't have to have written. You just talked to the client. They gave you verbal yes, and you went from there. During the massage, I did the massage. I spent most time on her back because her back was her problem area and shoulders. And so, just as she stated in the last session, when I was working on her legs, I was just about done. I told her I could have either just finish up on her neck, or if she wanted to stay, I would stay another 30 minutes for her, and that way we could do the breast work and abdominal work. And she said yes. So again, she gave consent again, because I told her we're staying an extra 30 minutes to do the breast work and the abdominal work. So I told her I need to go talk to the front desk and let them know. And I also told her I would stay, and I would tell her we'd still do the whole session, the 90 session, at the price for 60, since we ran out of time because I spent so much time on her back. So I went to the front. I came back. I had to let her know that everything was good to go. We were going to work the extra 30 minutes. So I finished up on her left leg, because that's where I had left off. And then I went to put a drape on her, because I told her, and I always let my clients know, male or female, before I do any abdominal work, okay, we're going to work on the abdominal. I'm going to pull the drape down, and I pull it down to the waist.
what is the AISIS down to the hip bone. And I told her, I'm going to pull down the drape now so we can do the breath work and the abdominal work. Had the towel in my hand, looking straight at her. I said, would you like a drape? And she said, no. And I looked at her again. I said, are you sure? I have the drape right here. And she said, I'm good. So then I then proceeded to pull the drape down and start working on our abdominals, the attachments. I worked on the psoas, iliac psoas on both sides, worked up on the ribs, up on attachment where the xiphoid process. And then after, and I worked across from one side to the other and did some cross fiber for the major abdominal just below her underwear line above the pubis, but from the ASIS across. And I asked her before, I said, do you want me to go over or do you want me to use lotion? Because I was already using lotion when I was working the app. She said, you can use lotion. So I then went cross fiber from one side to the other side. And then I went and I started the breast work. And as I was doing the breast work, I then asked every time I worked from the right side and the left side, I asked her how the pressure was, how she was doing. And she said it was fine. At no point did she ever ask me to stop. At no point did she ever even say, lighten up on the pressure. So I don't even know why she's saying I was working so aggressively when I know that's a tender area, especially with her and with other clients that had the issue with she was starting to kind of hunch over. Her shoulders are immediately rotated. And so her breast tissue is very tight because the adhesion is stuck and it started adhering to the pectorals and the intercostals. So I was trying to work and release that to allow her shoulders to roll back, to allow her posture so she could stand up better, which also allows her to breathe easier because when you're not hunched over and your shoulders aren't concaving or immediately rotated, it allows you to take deeper breaths easier. And that was one of the problems was her shoulders were sore and her back was sore because she was starting to rotate inward. After the massage was done, I then stepped out of the room, let her get off the table. She came out, she was smiling and said she felt better. She moved her shoulders around. She said she felt like she was standing up straighter, but like she could breathe easier. So, you know, and that's when I told her she should take an Epsom salt soak. And that was because it helps relax muscles, pull in more of the toxins and make sure to drink plenty of water. As we were walking to the, I walked her to the front just before I opened the door to let her to the lobby. She stopped me and gave me a tip and said, thank you again. And then, she proceeded to leave. And I didn't have any contact with her until the last meeting.
Thank you. Are there any board members that would like to ask questions?
This is Board Member Ramsey, and I do just want to confirm, since we are speaking digitally, sometimes some words may be lost. You said that you did not receive a written consent form for breast tissue massage. Is that correct?
Correct. I forgot that we had to have that down here because when I stayed at work in prior, we didn't have to have a written. So I just got verbal, and I got verbal twice from her before the massage even started. And I got a verbal again before I even worked on her while we're during the massage.
Thank you for clarifying.
Mr. Richardson, this is Emily Clark, Vice Chair. I do have a question. You mentioned in your explanation that you had pulled the drape down to the ASIS and then asked the client in W if she wanted a drape. I assume that was across the breast area. Why would you not have used a towel to cover the breast area before you brought the drape down to the ASIS?
I had the towel in my hand to drape her breast area, and I asked when I asked her, do you want a drape while I work on your abs and then before I do the breast tissue, and she said no. And that's why I asked again, do you want a drape? So I can work, or when I work on your abs and I work on your breast tissue, and she said no again, she said I'm good.
But that would still have left her exposed, correct?
When I pulled it down, yes. that's how we would do a breast rate. If the client wanted it to cover, we gave them a cover or not. And it's how we did the breast tissue work where in Oregon, we didn't have to have a drape. It's up to the client if they wanted a drape or not. So that's why we would ask them.
This is Board Member McLean. I have a question for Mr. Richardson. How long have you been practicing in the state of Arizona?
I believe 3 years.
3 years. And after 3 years, you're unaware of the policy to have written permission to do the breast area?
No, I knew. And like I said, I forgot because I haven't even asked anyone if they'd wanted any. She was the first client that I've had since I've been down here that wanted somebody to work on.
So you've had no other clients in the last 3 years that requested that treatment?
No, not here. I had therapists. I worked on therapists and they had me work on them, but not any clients.
Okay. And did you have notes that you took from this particular massage?
I can honestly say I do not know because Rubs does not require notes and they don't always give any paperwork to write any notes down. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It really depends on who's working that day if they give you any paperwork to write down notes for.
Okay, so then otherwise your course of treatment is set up based on a verbal discussion with your client?
Correct. I go over everything with them before the massage even starts.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Richardson. Is NW on the phone, please?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Would you like to give us any additional information or
yes,
clarification from this? We have the summary of allegations in our packet. If you would like to do some clarifying, please do so.
Thank you. First, I would like to reiterate that I did not give permission for him to touch my breast. I did not ask for that. I did not give permission. Last time we were all here, he said he worked in Oregon and thought it was fine because up there you don't need to have written permission. But I did a little checking and actually the rules in Oregon are more strict. You need written permission. You need a whole bunch of things that can easily be found on their state board website. I never gave him permission to touch my breasts. Now he's claiming that he asked me multiple times. Last time he said he just forgot that he had to do that. He says that there's no paperwork from Rubs to fill out, but they have you fill out a client form every single time you go in to circle problem areas and say exactly what you want. He did not offer a drape. I don't know why he's saying, I'll go ahead and not charge you for the extra 30 minutes. That was not a thing that happened. And if I was so adamantly asking for my breast to be a massage, why wasn't it done in the first hour? Why did he have to go and credit me a half hour, which didn't happen, to then work on my breasts? I was not smiling when I left, and I did provide evidence to Mr. White from Rubs massage manager when she reached out to me via phone and email because the receptionist was concerned when I left. I have literally no joy or reason to sit here and further humiliate myself. I have no history of accusing people of touching me inappropriately. Mr. Richardson does have a history of being accused of that, which I didn't know until I made my complaint. I am only here asking you guys to take somebody who is dangerous and can do this to other people, take his license away. I mean, would you send, after everything you've heard, after all the times he's changed his story, would you send your mother, your daughter, your sister, your friend to go see this man? I literally have no reason to make this up. So I don't know what else you want me to say. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. N.W. And please do not feel humiliated. We appreciate you coming forward so that this can be addressed. So please know that what you have to say is important to us. So are there any questions from members of the board for Ms. N.W.?
N.W., this is Vice Chair Clark. It was indicated, I believe, that in our packet that you had given permission to work the upper chest. Is that correct?
This area was what I understood, the shoulder attachment to the chest, not any part that was part of the breast.
Can you see me on the computer?
No.
Okay. I'm here, and I'm pressing the top of my chest out to my shoulder, which is above the breast area, which mm-hmm. is what we would consider and call the pectoral area. Would that be the area that you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
N.W., this is Nick McLean. So based on what Vice Chair Clark just showed you on the screen, is that the area that was massaged, or did it go below that area?
My entire breast and my nipples were massaged.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
N.W., this is Kevin Ramsey. Is what Mr. Richardson said as his verbal communication with you, did he clarify the difference between breast work? Was it just stated as upper chest work like the intake form suggests?
He never spoke to me about massaging my breasts.
Thank you. I have no more questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. N.W. In your intake form, this is Chairman Bowman, in your intake form, you indicated that you were having difficulties with your neck and shoulder, is that correct?
Yes.
And when he worked in the lower pelvic area, he did go underneath you chose to wear your underpants, is that correct?
Yes.
And he chose to put his hands under that?
He put his hands both underneath my underwear and on top of my underwear.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Are there any more questions that the board has for Mr. Richardson? Are there any more questions that the board has for N.W.? Okay.
Am I allowed to say anything else? Because I just want to restate, my story has not changed. And I'm sure that Mr. White, I gave my wrote everything down to him, months ago? And it's not changed from that, what I've said then. And there is no intake form. They give if it's a new client,
they give them a plastic board that has an erase marker that they can mark on there, and that's not even all the time. And I don't even know if that was, if they were even doing that at that time. They did it sometimes with clients, with like new clients that would come in, but it wasn't anything, that it wasn't a piece of paper. It was a erasable marker that they would write on there. So no, we did not always have paperwork that we wrote with clients. It depended on what we were given at that day. And who, like I said, who was working the front desk.
Thank you.
Nor so,
Yes, Nick, go ahead.
I have a question, but it looks like the chat goes to everybody. So this is intended just for Mr. White and the board members.
This is an open meeting, so we may need to go into executive session if you believe that's so. Mr. Monahan, would you give us some clarification at this moment?
Absolutely, Madam Chair, members of the board. So the only reason at this point that we could go into executive session would be to discuss legal advice or to discuss confidential medical information. Other than that, you know, everything has to be done on the record.
Okay. So, Mr. McLean, can you clarify if you believe you need to have an executive session? We cannot discuss the case, but we can ask questions for legal clarification.
No, it probably does not meet those requirements.
Okay. So is question, there a way that you can ask that question?
Sure. So, Mr. White, are you aware if the police department completed their investigation? And my second question would be for Chair Bowman, and do we consider the additional cases or accusations against Mr. Richardson as we consider this case?
The police investigation is still pending. The other cases were handled in-house, and that was being a part of being a massage therapist that was lodging a complaint. Like he said, he does therapists, and that's who made the complaint, was a therapist. They didn't go as far as to make a police report.
Okay, thank you.
And the therapist did not go so far as to file a complaint with the massage board. Mr. Monahan, because we have that information from RUBS, can we discuss it? May we ask Mr. Richardson questions about it?
About RUBS' internal investigation?
Yes,
you may.
Okay. So, Mr. Richardson, we have three cases, NW, which we have in front of us today. We also have a PD that reported internally that you did a groin massage area that left her sore. Can you recall that case?
I'm sorry, are you talking to me or are you talking to someone else?
I'm talking to Mr. Richardson.
I was not made aware nor ever told of any other thing, any other cases or any other complaints. I even asked one of the assistant managers. I had asked her specifically, I was able to get a hold of her, and I asked her, was there any other complaints about me? And she said she doesn't recall any other complaints about me. The only one she ever heard of was NW.
Chair Bowman, okay. If I could offer some clarification.
Okay, Mr. Richardson, just a moment, please. Ms. Cisneros, go ahead, please.
In the board's packet, we do have a RUBS leave of absence form that is for the office use. At the bottom of the form itself, it says that the information in the form was verbally acknowledged by the employee. That form itself indicates the two clients and the therapist that all had filed reports with RUBS. Thank you.
Okay. I do see that. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Okay. Whoa. Let's take it easy now. Mr. Richardson.
Madam.
Okay. If Mr. Monahan needs to talk to me, let me know that.
This is Andrew.
Madam Chair, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. I would tread lightly, though, when we are looking at past complaints, as they haven't been before this board or through any, you know, true verification process that we can make a determination on. So I would just say to be very careful when reading into those and using those specific instances.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
So, yes, Mr. White.
Okay. If you look at the packet, and if the packet that's dated on February 6th, it's on a Gmail I printed out. It's in that group of packages. If you look at that last page, it says action taken in response to report after receiving 3 complaints of similar nature. Josh and Richardson has been terminated effective immediately. That's dated 1/22/2020.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, what was the date that they're saying that they terminated me?
Chair Bowman, if this is Andrea, if I could add a little more onto what Mr. White was just clarifying for the board.
Thank you.
There is a documentation of conversation from Rubs that is dated 1/22. That's part of the board's packet as well. And that confirms that the owner and the general manager met with him to discuss the issues that were brought to their attention. Thank you.
And those issues were the cases that are on that accompanying form?
Chair Bowman, the form that I am referring to at this time is page 28 of 1/28 of the board's packet. And
does it say documentation of conversation?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then in the body of that summary, it discusses where he was informed that he was removed from the schedule.
Yes, thank you. Okay, are there any further questions of Mr. Richardson from the board? And are there any further questions to NW from the board? Okay, so to Mr. Richardson, do you have any additional remarks you wish to make at this time?
Well, for one, like I said, I never was notified, one, that I was ever fired. When I had the meeting, it was on a Wednesday, which I think was the 22nd, because I did it before I went to my other job. And that's when I had a meeting, they told me about NW, and that's the only thing they ever talked about was her. And then at the end, they said that I would be suspended until the board decided whether I was still able to massage or not. I was never notified of anything else. I was never notified that I was fired or terminated. That's the only information I was given. I've even talked to, I had to actually call the, I guess you call her the general manager afterwards, because I found out from someone that wasn't even working at Rubs that I think that day, the manager was going around saying that I was doing stuff to everybody at the place at where I was working. And then I called her and I say, you're telling me I can return to work, but she's sitting there making an even more hostile environment for telling everyone that stuff that they didn't even know, when she doesn't even know what's going on, because I had only know what's going on because the first I heard about it. And then like the next day I was told by someone who doesn't even work there that she's going around telling everyone. Mind you, this is the manager that I reported, because I reported this company and this particular manager that went around saying this stuff to the board for doing illegal massages. I reported this last year.
That is not what they're doing, is not in front of us today. So do you have any other comments regarding
that's saying, bringing up information that was never told, that no one even knows about apparently except for her, And I was told that after she found out that it was me, because I tried to make it anonymous when I did this, that she went around asking everyone and found out it was me. And I was told by the assistant manager to watch myself because of her, because she knew that it was me. And now all of a sudden I have these allegedly other people saying that I'm doing stuff.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Ms. N.W., do you have any further comments at this, as we go into deliberation?
I would just ask that the board members consider what he stated at the last meeting compared with this meeting and how his version of the truth continues to change. And I think that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Okay, if there's no further questions, the board will now deliberate. After a formal interview, the board may take any of the following actions: to dismiss if the complaint is without merit, to take any of the following actions: issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter, two, issue a non-disciplinary action requiring the licensee to complete a prescribed number of CEUs in the area prescribed by the board, three, issue a letter of reprimand, which must state the factual basis for the reprimand and statute and rule that were violated. Four, issue a decree of censure, which includes findings of fact and conclusions of law. Five, impose a probation, which may include suspension not to exceed 12 months or restriction of the license, and include finding of facts and conclusions of law. Six, enter into an agreement to restrict or limit the licensee's practice to retrain, rehabilitate, or assess the licensee, protect the public, ensure licensee's ability to safely practice. Seven, order restitution to include an order to repay fees paid by a massage therapy client and for the cost of the investigation. Eight, impose a civil penalty of at least $1,000, but not more than $10,000. Number C, refer to formal hearing for revocation or suspension of the license, or we can offer a consent agreement. Okay, do any board members wish to make a motion or start a dialogue?
I think a dialogue would be preferred before making an official motion. I have major concerns about the...
Okay, please identify yourself.
Oh, first. Sorry, Kevin Ramsey.
Thank you.
What we've heard is the licensee affirm that he did not receive a written consent for breast massage, which is outlined in Arizona statute. So, I mean, just as a first step, that would be something that we would need to look at, and that does fall under disciplinary action from statute 32-4253. Under section, it would be past, it'd be B, subsection E, and that is outlined under the disciplinary action label. And so, you know, moving forward, I feel like most of the kind of argument for defense lies in, you know, ignorance of Arizona law, which, you know, I don't believe to be very a strong argument. I think just with any law or you know, statute that's out there, ignorance of those does not, you know, provide a solid defense on my side. You should really know where you're operating, what are the outlines for you to be able to operate. You know, do you need paperwork or not? You know, especially considering the sensitive nature of the style work, you know, you would assume that you would want to practice as safely as possible. And so holding paperwork, you know, whether or not your place of employment requires it, as a professional myself, I would want to hold all those, you know, guidelines in place, regardless of whether or not my employer required it. So in terms of this specific case, you know, we did hear admittance that he did not receive written consent for breast tissue massage. And so at least as a starting point for conversation, that's where I want that's where I want our kind of decision to go.
This is Nick McLean. I agree with everything Mr. Ramsey has brought up. It's concerning that if you're going to work on a person's body in what would be considered a private or sexual area, that you would want to document that for your own protection, aside from verification that that's what the client's looking for. So with something like this coming from another state into Arizona, regardless of what Oregon did, you need to be aware of what the state of Arizona requires, which to me means there's some continuing education requirements that need to be made, as well as maybe as long as a 6-month suspension until these CEs are accomplished.
This is John.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Mr. Ortega.
By his own testimony, he admitted that he left her breasts exposed. He said he had her permission for that, but there's nothing in our statute that said it's okay to leave your breasts exposed, even if you have permission. And I found NW's testimony credible. So for me, it's just a decision of what we need to do to correct this therapist's actions.
Thank you. Ms. Clark?
Yes. I also have a hard time understanding how you can work on one part of the body and continue to expose the breast, whether or not the client said, okay, yeah, it's fine, no problem. You had a towel there. You know, the breast should have been covered even prior to removing the sheet down to the ASIS. The breast should still have been covered for the protection of the client. You should always document everything that you do with a client in the event that you are working in these particular strategic areas, because it's very important to protect yourself. So I agree with everything that Mr. Ramsey, Mr. Ortega, and Mr. McLean have laid out. And I believe that we need to move forward with this and have some disciplinary action along with some CEs and draping and business ethics. I think it's very important that all massage therapists are able to protect themselves so they can protect the public as well.
Thank you. Okay, this is Chairman Bowman. I'm concerned about a number of things, and one is we generally say to the client, please undress to your level of comfort, and Ms. NW chose to leave on her panties, and that to me is a very distinct line that says this is private to me. And so for him to put his hands underneath that and to work those areas is a violation of her boundary. And we know that when someone is on the table, they go into alpha brainwaves because we're trying to relax them. And so they shouldn't have to be on guard about the massage therapist behavior, because we should be providing a safe environment for them to relax. It was very clear that NW said that she has shoulder and neck pain, and I'm not sure why he needed an additional 30 minutes to work on her abs and her groin area. I found that quite unnerving that that would go forward. So I definitely think we need to look at what to do. I also, while I appreciate Mr. Monahan's comments about the additional forms, I know that on 122 that he signed a paper stating that two other therapists had made comments about inappropriate behavior. And so for me, this is kind of he may not remember doing it, but his signature is on that paper. Now, they may have felt that in talking with him, he would change his behavior. I don't see that that necessarily has happened, so I'm concerned about that as well.
As far as that paper you're talking about, I was, again, I would never
well,
talk
excuse
about
me, excuse me. Okay. This is not open for discussion. You have had your time to talk, and if need be, I will have Mr. Wilcox mute you. So this is not a time for you to explain something. So is there any further discussion from the board?
I think we, this is Kevin Ramsey. I think we all kind of similarly have a view of, you know, moving forward with this. I agree with Mr. McClain and Mr. Ortega. Really the weight of the complainants details and the really lack of, you know, substance from the licensee's details, I think it weighs, you know, heavily on kind of what we should be moving forward with. I think a suspension is a minimum start. I think a civil penalty can be invoked here. You know, ignorance of statute is not, you know, a defense in itself at all. You know, if you're moving somewhere new and you have a license to practice a profession, you should be well versed in, you know, not only state, but, you know, in some cases, federal law. But, you know, more importantly, the state that you're moving to is likely to have some different details, so you should be knowledgeable of that. So I think suspension, civil penalty, and, you know, ordering of, you know, at least draping ethics courses. I'm not sure if there is, and this wouldn't be the first time that we've seen, you know, to put it probably too simply, I didn't know I couldn't do that, or I didn't know I was supposed to do these steps, I think is not appropriate as a defense. So I think at least those three, but I'm open to deliberate when it comes to specifics during numbers, hours. What do you guys think?
Well, this is Chairman Bowman. I think we're in a dilemma in that the continuing education classes are in kind of suspension right now, unless we allow him to do them online. So I'm not sure about that. I certainly agree with the suspension, if not revocation.
This is John Ortega. Yeah, we have him in an interview, and we can give him a year suspension, and I would see nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
This is Board Member McClain. My input to that would be definitely the CEs that have been discussed by Vice Chair Clark and Mr. Ramsey, with a minimum of a 6-month suspension. In regards to whether or not these would be classes that are attended in person via online, I will defer to you folks, but initially I would not have an issue with the classes being conducted online, because he would still have to acknowledge that he has learned the information provided in those classes.
Ms. Clark, would you like to weigh in?
Yes, I'm kind of leaning towards the same thing that Mr. McClain is. 6-month suspension would be sufficient, I think. I think the CEs, considering the situation that the world and the country is in at this moment, Mr. Richardson would have to acknowledge his completion of the CEUs online and provide a certificate from that, which he would get via email, I believe. I do believe that it would be advantageous for him to do the CEs along with the suspension. I'm willing to do 6-month or year suspension, whichever we majority agrees to. But I think the CEs need to be in business ethics, and especially draping, because I'm really having a hard time with the breast being exposed and not being covered up prior to removing the original sheet down to the hip area. Definitely the CEs and business ethics, and also making sure he knows the statutes for Arizona, which are different for every state.
Thank you. So do we have a motion?
This is Kevin Ramsey. I'm going to move that we issue, and Mr. Monahan, if you can correct me on any, if any of my language is incorrect here, we move to issue, is it going to be a disciplinary action in which we would also require Mr. Richardson to pay, I'll say, $500 civil penalty, 12-month suspension of his license, and ordering, I would say 12 hours of continuing education, I would say being split between ethics and drapings classes, at least six of those being in an ethics program.
How many CEs was that? I apologize, board member.
I would say 12 hours total, with at least six of them being in ethics, business ethics.
Thank you.
Mr. Ramsey, if I can ask for a couple of clarifications on that motion.
Yes.
The continuing education hours, are those hours that, or I'm sorry, are those courses that he would first need to seek approval from the board for him to complete? It would need to be board approved CEs?
Yes, thank you for that. They would need to be board approved CEs. And I think in current situation, I think it's going to be hard pressed to find in-person classes. So the online program would need to be board approved.
Are those CE? Oh, my apologies. What is the time frame for him to complete the continuing education?
I would recommend within the first 6 months of suspension, and then to complete those, or you know, the more experienced board members here might weigh in on past orders. Would you guys be more comfortable doing the within 6 months or within the time frame of that 12-month suspension?
John Ortega, I would say within the 12 months, since that's his suspension.
Okay. So, Ms. Cisneros, to answer your question, yes, the completion of those CEs will be done within 12 months' time.
Thank you for that clarification. The civil penalty, what's the time frame that you're going to allow for him to have that paid?
Again, Mr. Ortega, I might defer to you from past experience. What is the general time frame that we usually order?
I would say the same thing, a year.
Within 12 months? Okay. So, Ms. Cisneros, 12 months for the civil penalty to be paid.
Thank you. And I'll just briefly repeat that back to the board so they know what your motion looks like. This is going to be a disciplinary order for a $500 civil penalty to be paid within 12 months. A 12-month suspension of licensure. Within those 12 months, the respondent shall complete 12 hours of continuing education with business ethics and draping, and at least six of those hours are specific to business ethics. Does that sound correct?
Sounds accurate to what I proposed, yes.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Monahan?
The seconder to the motion.
Right. This is Chairman Bowman. Mr. Monahan, do we have everything in the motion that we need, or is there something that we need to dot our I's and cross our T's?
Well, just to be thorough, you could also adopt findings of fact and conclusions of law and state the two violations of the board statutes. I believe it was 423B2E and B2G. But you can clarify that for me.
Okay. And do we have to have separate motions for those, or can we have Mr. Ramsey add those in?
You can add those in and make them all in one motion.
Okay. Mr. Ramsey, would you like to do that?
Mr. Monahan, will you clarify that statute number again? I didn't quite hear the whole number.
Yes, it's going to be 4253B. 2E and B to G as in gorilla.
Thank you. So in addition to my prior motion for disciplinary action, I will just put those in reference to the violations of Arizona statutes 4253B2E and B2G.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Emily Clark, second.
Okay. Mrs. Narrows, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes, thank you. Chair Bowman?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
The motion passes unanimous.
Thank you. You will, Mr. Richardson, you will receive the necessary documents in the mail. If you have any questions, please contact board staff at the board's office. This now concludes our formal interview. Thank you for attending. NW, thank you for attending. Okay, let us move on. Would the board members like a 5-minute break?
Yes,
please.
Please.
Yes, okay. So it is now 10:43. So we will meet back here at, let's say, 10:50.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tony. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with that. It's not nothing in front of the camera. I don't know what's going on with that. Put your mic on.
Is your camera popped up out of the machine?
Yeah, it is already up.
Oh, that's strange.
Yeah, I don't know. I left and came back in and tried it another way. It's still doing that. I don't know why it's doing it.
Different.
Hey, Tony and mm-hmm. Andrew, what's unusual is that he's not even getting his monogram up. So there's a failure of the device to transmit who the party is.
Yeah, the monogram is popping in and out. I can't see it popping in and out. But it's like it just popped in and then went back out again. It was on earlier. But it won't even, the camera won't load. Now that's strange. My camera at home working. Now this one ain't working.
That looks like a corner of a blank wall. Two blank walls.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, actually, maybe that camera is facing in the wrong direction. Maybe it looks like it's.
Oh, he's looking at the wall behind him because he's got double camera. You're right.
Okay. He's going forward. You have two camera lenses to choose from. Uh-huh. You want the lens that faces the keyboard, not the one that faces the opposite side.
How do you with some investigative skills, Mr. White?
I didn't mess with it. How did it change? I know
you can change
with
that with the three dots. The three dots in the bottom right is change, and you can
change layout. Change layout.
No, I think it's settings.
Settings. Okay. Okay. Hold on. Oh yeah, I see it now. Okay. Yeah, you're right. It does say rear.
But we can hear you clear. We can sure hear you good.
There you are.
What did it change? I didn't know that was even there.
That's awesome. Hey, you need to hire me, Mr. White, as your assistant now.
You're saying a white? We're like, what white? White wall. Okay. Thank you.
Or you can check out how Garnet Madera in Tucson is watching. She's on her Martha Stewart couch.
Yeah, I saw her.
Computer. And looking a little too relaxed. She's knitting.
Oh, what time do you have to be back? What she said be back?
10 till
10:50.
Okay. I gotta make a phone call. Okay.
I'm glad you guys aren't out here. It's humid as heck out here. We had 75% humidity where I'm at right now.
Can I ask, it was brought to my attention both this meeting and last that you guys can hear me clearly enough. I'm not too quiet or anything on my end.
Just sounds a little bit off.
You're doing great.
I can hear you perfect.
Okay.
And while I have you guys on the line, this isn't anything related to anything we're doing today, so it's not a big deal. And I'll help you with the language. When we do these, you know, the best language to use is always to say, you know, the board it adopts the factual allegations in the report as their findings of fact and the potential violations as their conclusions of law. And so I can help you with that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Right, and if you would, why don't you get that to staff and let them email that to us so we can stick it in our notebook, and that way we come across, like, you know, with the correct verbiage.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. Okay. I'll do it right now.
Okay. So we are coming up to 10:50.
Hey, but right before we go back, Tom and Tony, what was the final decision in regards to destruction of the materials we have? Was taking it to a shredder box sufficient, or what was the outcome?
Madam Chair, I guess we're still on break, but Madam Chair, Nick, Mr. McLean, given where you work and your access to the machinery, I think that's more than acceptable.
Okay, thank you.
The board are custodians for this material from the time it's received until the time it's destroyed. And in your particular case, you've got a remedy that complies with protocol, so I think that would be fine. Anybody okay. who does want the responsibility, we're certainly willing to take it back and do the destruction for you. But in the case of McLean, he's got that readily available.
Okay, let's get back to our meeting. Okay, it is now 10:50, and we are now resuming our July 27th, 2020 State Board of Massage Therapy meeting. Next on our formal interviews is Chris Angel, number 20-153. Is Mr. Angel on the line, and is complainant, the name, KH.
Yeah.
Are you both on the
line?
Thank you very much for coming on. Mr. Angel, are you on? Mr. Wilcox, can you check to see if Mr. Angel is on the line?
I see some phone numbers, but I don't know if he's one of those private callers.
Okay. So, Mr. Angel, if you would unmute yourself And is that star six to unmute? Or can you unmute him, Mr. Wilcox? Or you don't know who to unmute? Okay.
The private callers that are in on a cell phone are not muted now. So
okay.
So if he's one of them, he can just speak.
Okay. Mr. Angel, are you on the line? Okay. Mr. Monahan, how shall we proceed?
Madam Chair, if Mr. Angel is not on the line, then we should continue this matter to the next meeting.
Okay, so that he is has his 35 days?
Yes, he technically, since he's not here, would not be able to waive the requirement, even though he got the actual notice. It was less than 35 days. So if he's not here, he can't affect that waiver. So we would just continue it and move to the next.
Can I try to call him real quick?
Certainly. Absolutely. Please, Mr. White.
Okay, I'm being on mute for a second. 1 second.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, that'd be great, just because I've been having to take time off of work. So it would be great if we didn't have to do that. But
thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. White, have you been able to reach him?
On the job right now. Stand by.
Okay. Thank you.
Trying to get a hold of the therapist. This is it.
Well, while Mr. White continues to attempt to get Mr. Angel on the phone,
we made negative contact with him. He doesn't work at the massage parlor that he, or the side business that he was at, and he's not answering his home phone.
Okay.
And he was also emailed that information. So I don't know what's his bag.
Okay. So Mr. Monahan, I believe that we need to delay this to the next meeting. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. You just make a motion to continue until the next meeting.
Okay. Do I have a motion from a board member? Well, I move that we delay this case 20-153, Chris Angel, to our next regular board meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Cisneros, would you do a roll call vote, please?
I sent it. They came back.
Absolutely. Chair Bowman?
Aye.
Email.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Okay, they're postponing it.
Thank you. The motion passes.
He said, can you have my mail sent?
Thank you. Mr. Wilcox, would you please mute the other people? We're hearing Mr. White. Thank you. Okay, let's move on to item 6G, discussion of the ID cards and the CBD oils. Mr. Augerton, could you give us an update on these? Let's start with the ID cards.
Yes, Madam Chair and board members. This was requested, I believe, at our last meeting by Board Member Ramsey. And most of you will recall, I think all of the board members that are present today were present for the item on the agenda where we heard from the state currently contracted vendor regarding production of state IDs. And that vendor works also with the Arizona Department of Public Safety. And they went through a rough cost estimate of the product for us at that time. And it did not provide personnel in the bid. It did not provide production. It was a bid to provide the equipment. And then if we would have the staff to do that, those costs would have to be added separately. We've done no more with the vendor since the time they've presented to the board. And I think Board Member Ramsey was looking for an update on what the board wanted to do to proceed, meaning that if there is a collective interest in going further, that we need to put a fiscal request in by September the 1st with both budget offices, the JLBC for the legislature and the OSPD for the governor's office. The other issue on CBD, I decided not to get a spokesperson today from the pharmacy board until I get more detail from the board as to how they want to proceed with this. The staff have had a lot of questions in the last 12 months from individuals that are currently licensed or establishments that have an interest in providing this service to clients. And that would include both the oil, which does not have the THC component, as well as an interest in doing the other as well. And so we don't really know what the board's pleasure is on this issue either, other than the fact that if you would like to be briefed, we can provide that at the very next meeting. So today is really a chance for the board to offer some more guidance to the staff on these two issues. I am, in fact, meeting with our new analyst with the OSPB later this week, and we'll be asking for other items of new monies to be considered. And if the board would like us to ask for monies for overhauling the current licensing system for the state for the massage therapist, that's something we still have the time to include for the following fiscal year. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Okay. Mr. Augerson, a question that I have is, we have suspended the fees for relicensing. Have we also suspended the costs for initial licensure?
Madam Chair, what the staff is currently doing has only been to waive the fee for current Arizona licensees to renew their license. Anyone coming to the state for an initial license still pays the standard fee. The staff is also waiving the statutory requirement for 24 hours of continuing education for existing Arizona licensees as they come up for renewal during the period of the pandemic. We have been advised by the Attorney General's office that we need at our next meeting to formally place this on your agenda and get the board's formal support for both of those two waivers or anything else that you may wish to discuss and do at a future meeting.
Okay, thank you. So how is this impacting our bottom line? Because I think that could have an impact on the ID cards, the cost of the ID cards.
Well, Madam Chair, you currently roughly in the state have about 12,000 active licensees, and every 2 years, all 12,000 are required by statute to come back through the renewal process. And you can kind of do the math on that on an annual basis of 6,000 and a monthly basis, dividing the 6,000 by roughly 12. Currently, it's just under $100 that the state is waiving from those monies going into the Massage Board Revolving Fund. Now, the fund balance at the end of the last fiscal year is in excess of $10 million. It roughly is, very roughly, about $1.3 million. So the drain, for lack of a better term, of funds from the revolving fund began in March 1st of this year as the pandemic began to take hold, and this allowance or this forbearance was made available for current licensees. But if you do the math of $100 roughly per licensee per renewal month, renewal year, basically right now until the board changes, roughly 12,000 individuals would be waiving the requirement to pay their $97.50 to the revolving fund. So that's just a rough answer to your question. It doesn't have the dollars and cents, but that's the rough answer.
Okay. Do any board members have a question of Mr. Augerton regarding the ID cards or the CBD oil?
It looks like Emily is trying to talk. Unmute yourself, please, Mrs. Clark.
There we go. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
I would really like to be able to talk to somebody regarding the CBD stuff because I think it's very important. I know it works for a lot of people, but I don't know what the ramifications would be for the therapist using it on a regular basis for many different clients, and how that could affect them physically in the long run. Granted, there's always gloves that people could wear, so it doesn't affect them as much. I would really like to get some more information before I can make a informed decision as to where I would like to go and see that go. As far as the ID cards, I really think that we need to push forward with that, with new licensees and people coming in from out of state. The renewal, I think once we're able to start charging again, I think the renewal fee would help take care of getting picture IDs on the new licenses and reissuing new licenses with their identification on it. So that's kind of where I stand.
Madam Chair, what advantage of having this on a future board agenda would actually just to begin with a statutory briefing about what currently is happening in the state with the license that people have to apply for in order to be able to access these products. And then perhaps we'd also get someone with some health expertise to brief on individuals that are doing the applications, what type of issues have not been thought of that would impact them, not only the skin-to-skin contact, but also if individuals are required to have any type of drug testing for employers or law enforcement and so forth. And this was an occupational side effect of this new service being offered. But, I mean, I can tell you anecdotally, there certainly has been a regular, not loudly, but there has been a regular interest coming from within the industry about potential of this becoming a new client service in either category, either the palliative effect for pain with the first product or the other product with the THC being more for the experiential session. But okay. I think we could begin by coming in and telling you what currently is legal in Arizona prior to the election, what's happening statutorily, whether there are differences in the communities around the state or the counties, and then have a health emphasis on the briefing as well and talk about what is currently known as state-of-the-art here in the state.
Thank you. Well, I would like to see us perhaps have someone from the pharmacy board, if that's possible, speak with us next time about the CBD oils. We're fairly well versed in the ID cards, and it's just a matter of being able to move forward. So as our executive director goes forward with the financial part of the state, let's have somebody present on CBD oils, if possible, at our next meeting.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to know if it actually has desired therapeutic effects or if this is just a money grab for the particular organizations that would want to use it as a modality.
Right. Okay.
One additional thing I'd like to just kind of throw out there. I know where I work, I have many patients that ask me if I would use CBD oil and massage prior to our discontinuing right now because of the COVID thing. And I have to reluctantly tell them I'm not able to use that. They tell me they use it at home and it works great for them, but unfortunately I'm not able to use it in massage and my company has not given me permission to use it in my sessions. So, you know, there may be some companies out there that don't want massage therapists to use it. Private patient, private therapists that may have private, own their own private company and do private practice may be able to utilize it. But again, we need to know what the ramifications and the effects are going to be in the long run for the therapist and the private client. So the more information I think we have to our at our disposal, will give us a better idea of how we might be able to proceed to be either, whether it's going to be legal, whether it's not legal. I know when I went to the FSMTB last year, there was a lot of members that were saying, no, 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 therapists cannot use it. A few states said, yes, we do have the ability to use it on our clients. So
right.
It's kind of a toss-up, 50-50, and I want to make sure that whatever we do here in the state of Arizona is going to be within legal limits and not cause any undue harm to the public or the therapists themselves.
Thank you. And so, Mr. Ogerton, I guess I would also ask that we do a quick review during this CBD discussion at our next board meeting as to if there's statutory limits or guidelines, let's say, on the use of oils and lotions and things like that. I don't think we need to discuss it today, but we should put that so that we're looking from a statutory point of view as well as a therapeutic and a pharmacological point of view.
Understood, Madam Chair. Another issue probably we'd like to have some input on is from the insurance industry, whether this would have any effect on those massage therapists that carry personal liability insurance. At the very least, we probably should get an industry reaction to whether the issue has come to them before or not as well.
Great. Okay, we'll add that to it. Any other discussion on these two at the moment, or shall we leave those for our September meeting?
This is Kevin Ramsey. I do want to talk about the ID cards subject. Oh. I think.
Okay.
I think really what, and correct me if I'm wrong, we're really waiting on, you know, is this, you know, financially, is it possible to implement? Is it worth the cost and, you know, the manpower that's going to go into it? I think I remember a few meetings ago, you know, Tony mentioned that, you know, while we could implement these ID cards, it's going to take, you know, several man hours to actually go through and process and, you know, print these out. You know, questions about would they be able to reuse the same card or would they receive a new card for their license renewal? You know, these are all things that we keep in mind, you know, not just do we have the money to pay for it, but also do we have, you know, the staffers to go through the process for it. So I think we all are kind of in the same page that it is, you know, a positive idea to have, you know, picture ID cards. And I just think I would like some clarification as what are the steps left that we need to take in this.
Right. And a thought I would like to just toss out. I think, Ms. Ramsey, I think those are great thoughts. I guess I would like to just toss out that, like with our driver's license, it goes for a long, long time, and I don't know that we need to do a new ID every renewal, but perhaps we could do it at every at every 10-year period so that we're updating a photo. So,
Don Ortega, that's always been an issue with this board is staff. There was a time a number of years back when all these California schools opened up and they were not certified. When that all changed, we did not have the staff to go through all our listings and revoke the licenses of the people that had gotten their certificate from there. But what we had to do, we had to wait till they came up for renewal. So this issue of staff, of us being understaffed, has always been an issue.
I agree. Thank you. I don't think it's going to get easier either.
Madam Chair, but to Board Member Ramsey's questions, what we can do at least is to put on paper a comprehensive proposal, which would include fiscal impact, that if you wanted to do this, what realistically would you need in terms of resources? If you make a policy decision to only do the ID cards every 10 years, knowing that you've got 12,000 renewals every 24 months, that clearly is a mitigating factor that brings it down to be where it's more feasible. That would then take you to just initial. You'd have to do the one time 12,000, but then you would just be doing the new IDs for the initials per year, which would be a much larger, much smaller number. On the staffing issue, you know, I know everybody in the public sector is always asking for more resources, and I'm not going to make that pitch today, other than the fact that you've got three people and myself supporting 12,000 active licensees and 30,000 total. And literally, you only have one person doing initials, and you have one person doing renewals. And at 6,000 renewals per year, you can pretty much understand what Tony does for, you know, 40 hours every single week. And then, of course, Andrew has the number of complaints we have in the case workups with the AG's office and so forth. Nobody would like to have licenses more than ourselves, because not having that diagnostic tool to respond to complaints makes it even more difficult. But I do think we can work up a comprehensive proposal which would talk about staging, would talk about how we would transition from the existing licensing, which is digital, which is provided through an email, to something in the future, and then bring it back to the board prior to us having to submit it to the two budget offices and see if you're comfortable with it. The number thrown out at the last meeting by the vendor was roughly $35,000 just to produce the hard cards in order for us to have the inventory to add the photography and then laminate them and put them out the door. So you're looking at a figure, you know, probably twice that if you were to include staffing and machinery and so forth. But we can probably fine tune it more with the vendor. The fact that they're on state contract makes it easier to do a precise fiscal analysis, and we can have that for you at your next meeting.
Thank you. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I would like to request on the next agenda, because Ms. Clark had brought it up about the waived requirements that are currently ongoing for license renewals. On the next agenda, if we approach this subject, where are we at currently, which I think is pretty well known now within the profession, of the waived requirements for both CEs and licensing fees. In the future, I think next year or something, like, at least we can have a discussion about what does the removal of this waiver look like? Are we going to be phasing in, steps towards bringing these fees back? Or are we going to have posting on the board website? I would just like anybody who's listening in or who does regularly check the board to understand what that process of when these fees do come back. How soon is it going to be? What steps need to be? So it's not just, oh my gosh, I have 3 months to get together my credit.
Right.
So we can have a discussion about what does the removal of this waiver look like.
Thank you. And I think I would like to add on to that is because it's for those that may get into that transition time where there's CEs will be required, will we waive the fact that many of them have to be in person and simply allow them to all be done, online, because that's the only way they may be able to get them at this time. So I think that should be another point of conversation. Does in either of our other three board members have a comment they would like to make about that transition period on going back to after COVID?
Madam Chair, if I can just interrupt for a second. You know, we didn't post this for discussion today, and if I can just impinge on you a little bit, that I think staff has a lot of discussion they would like to offer on this and have some ideas, but if we could take Board Member Ramsey's suggestion to put this on the next agenda, we won't attract the attention of the Attorney General's office quite as much.
Thank you. I do apologize that.
quite all right.
Ramsey, thank you for the suggestion. And Mr. Augerton, will you see that is put on our discussion for next time? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification. Point 7, summary of current events. I Mr. Augerton, do we have any other, do we have any current events at this time we need to discuss?
Madam Chair, not, I don't think today. The primary thing we wanted to get some initial feedback for, which we've just accomplished, is the scheduling of the formalization of the existing practice of waiving the fee and the CEs and what the restoration plan, which will be discussed at the next meeting. I don't have any update on anything else, and that's the reason we didn't really post anything for today, but anything else you'd like, we certainly can prepare for the next meeting.
Okay. Number eight, discussion of possible action items for future massage board agendas. And so I think we do, we've discussed those. Is there anything anybody else would like to toss out?
I think we're good.
Okay. Our next Arizona Massage Board meeting date is Monday, September 21st, 2020 at 9:30 in the morning. And that meeting will also be digital and online. Is there a motion to no August meeting at this point?
Okay.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion that we adjourn. Emily Clark.
Chairman Bowman, I second it. Ms. Cisneros, can we have a roll call vote?
Absolutely. Chair Bowman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
The motion passes.
The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for attending. There are guests, our staff, our attorney, our board members. Thank you for attending.